Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 18th perek of Shmuel Aleph. This is a chapter in which we deal with the complexity of love and pain, the relationships of Shaul HaMelech and his family to David. And as Shaul's relationship divides and drifts from David, the closeness of the people around Shaul and their relationship to David. So here's how it starts. The first section of the perek is dedicated to Yonatan. Remember, we met Yonatan as this fierce warrior, the person who killed the Philistine general, the man who jumped into battle 2 against 30,000 plus, very powerful person. He sees David HaMelech coming back after killing the Plishti, and he is completely in awe of David. He somehow knows that David HaMelech is special. David HaMelech is going to be he knows that David is probably going to be the king. And it says Yonatan Kanavsha, he loved him as his soul. They struck up a very deep and meaningful friendship. And he goes, in fact, and he makes a covenant with David, and takes off his own royal garments and cloak and gives them to David symbolically. It sounds like the Mefarshim debate how altruistic or not this was, but the Mishnah in Perek Avos makes it sound pretty clear that altruistically this was a deep friendship, he cared deeply for David. Whereas other people like the Rabbag will say, well, he also could see where in which direction the future was pointing. And if David HaMelech is going to be king and he's the son of the previous king, it probably makes sense to be on the good side and to hedge for the future. But nonetheless, however, wherever we put the pin on that spectrum, nonetheless, Shaul is clearly paying homage to David. He sees where David is going, and they themselves create a very special relationship. Not only is David HaMelech revered and loved by Yonatan, but he's revered and loved by all of the courtiers of Shaul. In fact, the Perek continues to tell us that at that moment that David HaMelech returned to the camp holding the head of Goliath, all the women broke out into song, and the song they sang on the streets was Hikar Shaul Ba'alafov David Biriv Voisov. Shaul destroyed thousands and David tens of thousands. And when that kind of song reaches the ears of Shaul HaMelech, it's not good. Shaul HaMelech starts questioning, well, wait a second, why did I only get the thousands? Why did he get the tens of thousands? And slowly Shaul starts eyeing David. He starts thinking, wait a second, what's going on over here? And because of these thoughts, as the Rashi points out, the next day he's sitting there and this Ruach Ra comes over Shaul. And we know that David HaMelech is there to alleviate the Ruach Ra with his music, but before anything can happen, David is playing, and Shaul HaMelech picks up his spear and throws it at David, and it narrowly misses, and David two times, and then the Ruach Ra disappears. So this cloud descends, and David is in danger. What does Shaul do? Shaul sends David, and he makes him a Sar Elef, which makes him an officer in the army. The Mefarshim debate whether this is a high position or a low position, meaning was this a demotion or was this a promotion? There are those Mefarshim who suggest, the Radak says, that what he's really doing is he's sending him off to the battlefront and saying, good luck, David, go fight those battles and see what happens to you, which unfortunately is a echo or rather a premonition to something that David HaMelech will do to somebody else in his life in the future. Nonetheless, it doesn't succeed because David HaMelech is wildly successful wherever he goes, whether it's the army, whether it's in Shaul's palace, whatever he does is successful. So the next thing that Shaul says, look, we made a deal, and I promised my daughter to you, so you should, in order to marry my daughter, you need to fight my wars. And David says to Shaul, I'm so lowly. How am I worthy to marry the daughter of the king? And the kid's daughter he's referring to is a young lady by the name of Merav. But while David is protesting, in the meantime, Merav has married somebody else. Malbim points out that Merav was an independent young lady, and she wasn't going to take her father's suggestion. She found her own suitor. In the meantime, she'd found somebody else she preferred, and that fell through. So the second time around, Shaul says, David, why don't you marry my other daughter, Michal? Now, the Tanakh does tell us that Michal actually does love David. Michal also falls for David. She really has a deep connection with him. And Shaul now wants to use her as leverage. So he tries to get David to marry her. But David HaMelech is, of course, keeping his distance. He knows that there's danger involved in Shaul. And getting more involved means more danger. And so the king really negotiates using David HaMelech's friends who try to convince David HaMelech to marry her. And he keeps protesting, I'm such a lowly person, I'm from such a lowly family, why should I marry into the king's family? But in the end, Shaul HaMelech makes a deal. He says, look, I don't need money from you. All I need is a very small and simple dowry. And that is 100 foreskins of Philistines. Simple as that, we'll call it a deal. It's a great price for the dowry. So David HaMelech says, deal. And he goes out to battle, he has men, and he goes and kills 200 Philistines and brings back their foreskins, and they marry, and he gets married to Michal. Not always the most romantic wedding gift, but nonetheless, it seems to have worked, and Shaul allows his daughter Michal to marry her. And as David HaMelech succeeds, Michal loves him more, Shaul's officers and army love him more, and the more everybody loves and cares for David, the more Shaul turns to hate David. And the perek really ends with, Vayhi Shaul oyeves David kol hayamim, and Shaul turns into the eternal foe of David, which is a very sad statement. And then at the end of the perek, the Philistine attack, obviously in reprisal for the removal of these 200 men in this most embarrassing way. Now, a few things just to focus on in this perek, one or two points. There are now people in the WhatsApp group who reached out independently and asked, why is it that Yonatan's name is spelled differently? If you'll look through Tanakh, you'll notice that Yonatan is spelled Yonatan without a hey, and then we notice a lot of them, especially at the beginning of this perek, Yehonatan. You know, some people have their Hebrew name spelled one way or the other. Which way is what? Why is it there? Why is this ambiguity? So the Minchas Shai is one of the commentators on a lot of the dikduk in Tanakh, and he points out that actually, if you look through the whole book of Shmuel, Perek Yud Ches, this perek that we're in, is the dividing point between Yonatan without the hay and Yehonatan with the hay, and with two exceptions on either side. But he believes that Yehonatan, that's his comment, and Yigal Ariel points out that the significance of that diuk is very simple, and that is that Yonatan, as the crown prince, can find his greatest power and self-expression, Hashem's name as being part of his own name, when he gives place for somebody else's power. That's how his role in this world was to be. Not to demand the power of his father's throne, but to give it to somebody else. That's when he found actual expression of himself, which is very counterintuitive, but it's against the way that Shaul is looking at power. Shaul looks at power as something to be defended and something to be grasped onto until it's wrenched from one's hands. Yonatan realizes that it's something that when you don't have it, it's something that somebody else deserves, and he gives it benevolently and graciously to David. There's one or two other things just to focus on over here, and that is at the end of the perek, when we see that Shaul turns to hate David and become his enemy for all days, it's immediately after the love that Michal expresses for him. And you see something very terribly sad over here, which is that as the Radak points out, that the love is the greatest power and weapon in a sense. Michal wasn't loving David as a weapon against her father. Yonatan and David didn't have this friendship because of their love against Shaul HaMelech. But Shaul realizes that the greatest power that David has is his chayin and his friendship and his love. And when that extends to his own family, he feels even more threatened than if David HaMelech was bringing a revolution. Because now his own cabinet, his own close family, have allegiances to this young man who he knows is going to be dangerous, who knows is going to be his replacement. And that's why, unfortunately, he can't let go. And as opposed to David HaMelech, who backs away from power, as opposed to Yonatan, who tries to give the power to David, Shaul grasps onto it to the greatest of his ability. Obviously, he was true when he was making that dowry of the Philistines' foreskins. Clearly, it was a way to be able to trip up David, to make it impossible, or at least kill David in the making of the marriage, and did not succeed, because whatever David HaMelech does, even though it was not his own action, not seeking his own power, is successful. This sets up our story for the next division over the next two prakim. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.